Do you dream of drinking fresh, delicious milk every morning, controlling your weeds in an organic, natural way? Do you dream of having amazing manure and compost for your garden? Do you dream of meeting your neighbors and growing a much stronger relationship with them as you crawl under your boundary fences to retrieve your furry friends and save your neighbor's garden from their curious appetite? Well then, you're ready for goats. Welcome to the Homesteading Roller Coaster. My name is Ilaria, and in this podcast, I share my family's adventures on Tatum Hills Farm, our property just outside of Canberra, Australia. So let's get started. We have had goats on the farm for over 5 years now. In this episode, I'd like to share a little bit about what we've learned in that time. Full disclosure, the goats are my favorite animal on the farm, but don't tell the others. They are cheeky, they are friendly, they're cuddly, they love being with you, and they're just like giant toddlers, which can be good and bad. Just like toddlers, they can be so cute and so gorgeous and cuddly, and just like toddlers, they can be extremely stubborn and have tantrums. Our main reason for getting goats was the milk. As we were investigating possible dairy animals, we briefly considered cows and decided they were just too big and really not suited to our land. We don't have a huge amount of grass. We do, however, have a lot of bushes and weeds. And goats, being mostly browsers, in fact, being really strong browsers, seemed like a much better fit to our land. Also, they're a little bit smaller and easier to manage. If you listen to the About Us episode, I've always dreamt of having a goat. I think goats are adorable, and I do have a bit of an issue with how most dairy farms are run. And so I was looking forward to having my cruelty-free milk. Initially, I was concerned that their milk would have a flavor that we wouldn't like, especially because if you buy milk, goat's milk in the supermarket, it has a strong goaty flavor, and I didn't particularly enjoy that. But I thought we would just learn to get used to it. Now, the great surprise was that the milk, when it's fresh and raw, as we drink it around here, it tastes sweet and delicious and does not have a goaty flavor at all. One thing we did know about goats was that they can be a little bit hard to contain. Of course, that turned out to be an understatement. So when we first moved on our property in 2011, we weren't able to get goats straight away. Our fences were pretty poor, and they still are in a lot of places. And so we went for llamas instead. And I'll talk about llama in a different episode, but llamas are renowned for being very good on fences, and they certainly are. So llamas made the perfect beginner's livestock for us, but we were still after that milk. So after a bit more research and searching for a dairy goat that would be within driving distance of us, we found Tag. Our first goat, Tag, who's still here and is over 10 years old now, is such an independent goat, she did not seem to mind being on her own. When Tag came to us, she was pregnant, so we had the promise of a little herd of goats happening very soon. She was huge, and so the owner said, oh, she had 3 babies last year, I'm sure she'll have at least 3 more this year. Of course, that wasn't the case. So at the end of 2014, young Monty came about, and he was a single baby, and he was huge. So that didn't quite go as planned, straight up, because we thought, well, we'll have Tag, kid has a few babies, at least one of them will hopefully be a girl, and then Tag and her daughter can take turns every year being pregnant and giving us milk and having a year off. So that was the original plan, but straight away, with Monty being a boy, that plan went out the window pretty quickly. He was adorable though, and because we consider all of our animals pets, he got to stay here. He did have to be castrated quite early because bucks can start breeding at 3 months of age. So off we went to the vet. We didn't do any banding. So there is a way of castrating goats and sheep, which involves putting in a rubber band around their scrotum until their testicles basically fall off. I can understand how that would be a suitable way of doing that if you have thousands of them. From an individual animal's point of view, I don't think is the kindest way of doing it. So because we only had the one, we thought we could definitely grant him a slightly better way of being castrated. And we just took him to the vet, who put him under anesthetic, and off he got castrated, like much like you would a dog. The vet was amazed at how tame and cuddly he was. He just was like a dog. He just walked over on a leash and became quite famous at that particular vet practice. But we still just had the two goats, and we were having a great time milking Tag. She was giving us heaps of milk and we were sharing with Monty, but we thought we probably should have another girl. So we went back to the same farm when we got Tag originally and got younger Lily Pilly, who was only 3 months old. I think that was a bit early to take her away from her mum, but her mum had already been sold, so she was already on her own. So we figured it was okay to adopt her. So Lily Pilly came home with us in January 2015, and that was our herd for quite a few years, the three of them. Tag was quite a strong-willed young lady, but very tame, and she allowed us to learn how to milk quite easily, and it was really good to have her. Once Monty got old enough to go a few hours without milk, we started putting a goat bra on Tag, and that was just a pillowcase that would go around her udder, and then I would attach it to her body through a large dog harness and a few other straps. And to my surprise, she took to her with no problem at all. And so she was able to wear that overnight for several years. So Monty wouldn't be able to drink milk at night. And then in the morning we would milk, and then he would have mum for the rest of the day. We thought after a few months she would wean him, but she actually kept feeding him for years. And I don't know whether that plus the early castration accounted for some of the issue he's having now. He is now 5 and has some problems with his back legs. So he's a little bit wonky, but he's okay so far, and we are managing him. So for the following 4 years, we had our three goats, Tag, her son Monty, and young Lily Pilly. And we noticed that Tag was giving us heaps and heaps of milk, so we didn't feel the need to get Lily Pilly pregnant for quite a while. Meanwhile, we were learning how to contain them, and for quite a while, an electric fence made up of three lines was the perfect compromise between keeping our goats where we wanted them and still allowing the wildlife to go through the fences. The fence was low enough for the kangaroos to jump over it, and high enough for the wombats to walk under it. So that seemed like a fantastic solution. The goats did amazing work for us, eating a lot of our blackberry infestation. As time went on though, they started to get a little bit more curious and comfortable in their space. And Lily Pilly especially started to jump fences. And so they started to expand their range. They also discovered that the bottom wire of their three line fencing was the earth. So it wasn't a hot wire. And we couldn't make that bottom wire hot because we have a lot of bushes. And had we made it hot, it would have still been earthing all the time and therefore not being useful as a hot fence. So they discovered they could actually go under the fence, and they started to really just free range on our property. So that was when all of our problems with fences really started, and we couldn't contain them really very much anymore. But that didn't deter us. We still love them to this day, even though now the containment of goats is a constant topic, and it causes a little bit of issues also in terms of containing them away from all the revegetation plantings and fruit trees that my partner Damien is doing. But we just carried on, and things continued quite well until Tag started to really produce less milk, and that is totally understandable. At that point, Tag had been in milk for over 4 years, and we were amazed that she was still giving us about a litre a day. So Tag is a Sanan goat, by the way, and so she had been doing a great job for a really long time, but we thought it was time to probably look for a buck and get Little Pilly, who by then was 4 years old, pregnant, so that she could take over the milking duties. After a quick search, we found a suitable boyfriend for Lily Pilly. His name was Spike, and he came and visited us for a couple of weeks. And she did get pregnant. And on the 30th of December 2018, she delivered three beautiful babies. The firstborn, little Stella, was super, super tiny, and we didn't know if she was going to make it, but she did. We had to bottle feed her for a little while, but she came totally fine. The secondborn was a huge buck kid, and we named him Harvey, and we immediately started looking for a new home for him. We weren't going to sell him until he was old enough to leave mum, but we wanted to start early to find a home for him, because having seen what happened with Monty and having castrated him early and all the milk he drank and the fact that he was a bit wonky on the legs, we thought if that was the cause of Monty's physical issues, we would prefer Harvey to go to a home where he can be a buck and therefore not have the same problems. So immediately we started looking for a home for Harvey for when he would be old enough to leave us. And then the third baby was Clementine, another beautiful, strong girl who had no issues. The events that followed after the birth of Lily Pilly's babies would be the hardest ones that we faced on the farm in the entire time we've been here so far. Just to cut a very long story short, Lily Pilly did not pass the placenta, and in spite of dubious vet care and all of our incredible efforts, 3 weeks after having her babies, she passed away. Now, this is a huge, long story, which I would love to share in another episode. It will be quite heartbreaking, but I'm hoping that our experience will be helpful for somebody out there. But today, I'm just focusing on the goats as a wider topic. So we'll just skip over that extremely heartbreaking phase. Certainly, that was the lowest point of our farming life, and something that seriously caused us to question our lifestyle and what we're doing here. But we're still here, and I think we have recovered somewhat. Now it's been almost a year and a half since those events. So through a variety of other events, we now have on the farm still Tag and her son Monty. We have Clementine, Lily Pilly's daughter. And because Lily Pilly passed away, as well as all the drama I've just briefly mentioned, we also were short of milk. So we found another doe who had had a baby about a year prior and had been in milk for that amount of time. So Blossom joined us, and Blossom is a British Alpine, and she's been with us for about a year now, and she's fantastic, and she's now our main milker. So these are our four goats, and at the moment things are going pretty well, and apart from the constant fencing. So we have always different ideas on how to do things, and we seem to have found a way, which is not particularly cheap, but it's not too hard to do. And so the way that we're containing them at the moment is by putting a double height hinge lock fence. So these are fences that have fairly large holes, but the goats are quite large, so they can't get through them. But it's important that they're double height, and so at the moment we're replacing our single height ones with double height. That's because both Blossom and Clementine are amazing jumpers, and they can go through anything. They just jump over stuff, and they can get into all sorts of places where they shouldn't be, and they have done quite a bit of damage to our plantings of trees. The one place where we can contain the goats is their pen. So they have a reasonable size pen, where we can contain them, and that's where we lock them in at night. And occasionally on days where we need to know exactly where they are or where we're running tours, so before the tour arrives, we have them locked up so we can actually find them to show them to people. This pen is just made of heavy duty chicken wire, and it's about 1.8 meters tall, and that contains them. And within that, they have obviously their water, which they need. They have a goat specific salt lick, which is another necessity. If you have goats, it's very important that they always have access to salt lick. And they have their shelter. Goats, just like any animal, they obviously need shelter. Dairy goats in particular absolutely hate water, so as soon as it starts to rain, they will run for cover. So their shelter is very basic. It's made out of pallets and corrugated iron, and but it's perfectly suitable. It's quite large, so all of them can fit under it. And when Blossom came, because Tag is quite dominant, she wouldn't let her go undercover. So we also built an extension to the shelter so that Blossom could go for shelter without having to deal with Tag. So their basic needs are pretty easy to meet. The main difficulty, like I said, is the fences. The pen contains them fine, but it wouldn't be suitable for them to live there 24/7 because it's although it's large enough for them to move around a bit, it is too small for them to live there permanently. And also, there isn't anything in there for them to eat. So whenever they're locked up, we have to always supplement their feed with hay or pellets. We feed our goats hay, usually twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. We alternate between oat and hay and loosened hay, or we give them a mix of both. At the moment, we have bales that are already mixed and they seem to be working quite well. We also give them a small amount of either grain or pellets. We have found that goat pellets don't seem to agree with them very well, tends to give them sore tummies and the runs, so we avoid those. At the moment, what we're giving them is pellets that are designed for old horses. They're quite nutritious and they have molasses, so they love the flavor, and they're quite a boost of energy. We give them in small quantities, just about a handful for the milker. Nothing for Monty, for the boy. Clementine may get a little bit every now and again, but she's neither growing anymore, nor in milk, nor pregnant, so she also doesn't get much, just because it would be too strong, although they do love them. The pellets, they only get them about once a day in the morning when we milk. For a long time, we were feeding them lupins, and that seemed to work quite well. Apparently, cotton seeds are also very good, but we couldn't find them locally. The issue with the lupins is that at one point, Tag gorged herself on them, as she managed to get hold of the bucket when she shouldn't have, ate too many, and bloated, which is a condition they get when they overeat, and it can be fatal. And since then, she has not been able to really digest the lupins properly, so we've cut them out of their diet. Other things that you need if you're going to have goats: you're going to need to trim their hooves. So it's important to do that, as it can cripple them. I do that as needed. Sometimes it's once a month, or sometimes maybe every 6 months. It's not hard to do. You can just learn. If you go on YouTube, there's plenty of videos, and you can just learn that way. You can buy hoof trimmers for horses. I actually find garden secateurs work best for me. If you have baby goats, it's very important that you get them used to having their feet lifted from an early age, and that way they won't fuss about too much when you're trimming their hooves later in life. And so all of our goats are pretty easy to do. You also supposedly need to give them a vaccine. In our area, it's recommended to be done every 6 months. And it's a vaccine that's a 6-in-1, and it contains a variety of things in there, including tetanus and something called cheesy gland. Now, up until recently, I was religiously doing this every 6 months, but the issue is that the injection gives them a huge sore site and occasionally gives them a big abscess. I've managed to cope with this all along, but recently I had to vaccinate Blossom for the first time, as she had never been vaccinated at her previous place. And after that, she came down with a very serious case of mites, which can happen, but had never happened to us before. And I am convinced that the immunological attack that her system was under due to the vaccine caused her to then succumb to mites. The vet did suggest that the mites were just a symptom of her immune system being under attack. So even though I normally vaccinate animals and I certainly vaccinate my children, I'm all for vaccines, I am going to skip vaccinating my goats this time around when the 6 months comes around. And that is not because I've got an issue with vaccines, it's more because I am a bit skeptical of the knowledge that vets have and therefore their advice. Especially we found with animals that are not as mainstream as maybe a dog or a horse, around here we have found that the advice is not always correct or exact. So I'm choosing not to vaccinate them this time around, and hopefully I will not regret this decision. Another thing to keep in mind for goat general health is worms. Goats can get very wormy, and if you wait for them to look sick, they'll probably be too sick to recover. So it's important that you test their poo and make sure that their worm burden is not too high. If it's anything over 500, we tend to treat. It can be tricky to find the correct preparation to treat them with. We have had to rotate various drenches over the years. Tag in particular can get quite wormy. Lily Pilly was fantastic. She hardly ever got worms, and Blossom seems to be pretty good as well. So it's a matter of testing the individual goats and making sure that their worm burden is low. And if it's not, then it's worthwhile talking to both your vet and your local goat community to see what kind of preparations are working in your area. The last sort of husbandry thing that I would like to mention is this budding. This is a practice that is done in the dairy industry, and a lot of dairy goat owners do. In Australia, you cannot show dairy goats if they have horns. So all of the dairy goat owners who are planning to show their goats, that's totally not us, they would disbud their goats. I find personally that is a horrible practice, and even though horns can get in the way sometimes, burning off the horn buds when the goats are just a few days old, often with no anesthetic, seems a horrific practice to me. To be fully honest, I think I'm not the only one who has this view, and so more and more people who need to disbud their animals, they do so at the vet with anesthetic and pain relief. So obviously that's great news. For us personally, we thought that it was not necessary because we have so few goats, and we could just teach them, like you would teach a dog not to bite, we could just teach them not to headbutt us. And for the most part, that's worked really well. You just have to be really strict with them when they're little, and absolutely not ever, ever let them headbutt you. And headbutting is a normal response for them, but you just have to make it very clear that that's not acceptable against humans. And all of our goats are pretty good. In fact, the one that you've got to watch out for the most is Tag, our old Milka, who does not have horns, because she originally was born long before we got her on a commercial dairy farm, and so she got disbutted as a baby. And and now she is the one who will try to headbutt you the most. So ironically, the one goat we have with no horns is the one that you got to watch out for. So this is our current situation with goats. We love them dearly. They're doing a great job eating the weeds. They're doing a great job also eating other trees that they shouldn't be eating. So we're constantly evolving our fences to try and contain them. And we're constantly researching and communicating with the one knowledgeable vet we found in the area and with the vibrant goat community we found online in Australia to try always learn more and keep them healthy. We don't really have great plans for the future for them. We're quite happy with the herd the way it is. Perhaps next year we might consider getting Blossom pregnant, but after all of the Lily Pilly story, we are very much scarred about having pregnancies, so we might just continue things as they are. Certainly at this stage, I don't think we want to get Clementine pregnant, because her mum Lily Pilly had so many issues, and also she had triplets, which in itself is a bit of an issue. They only have two teats, and so it's a the natural number is two. Occasionally they'll have one or even up to four, but two is really the proper number. So, and the Lily Pilly was also one of triplets. So clearly the triplets run in that line. And given how triplets went for Lily Pilly, we're a little bit worried about having Clementine give birth as well. So for the moment, we definitely don't want to get her pregnant. If we change our minds in the future, we'll definitely have to keep a very close eye on her. But if we decide that we need more milk or more goats or both in the future, I think Blossom would be our first choice. She is already 5 years old though, so if we want to do that, we should do that next year, possibly no later. But we'll see. For now, we're just enjoying them as pets and enjoying the beautiful milk that they're giving us. If you have any suggestions or experiences that you would like to share with us, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to learn. Or if you've got questions, also please let us know. We can hopefully answer. And if not, maybe we can point you in the right direction or we can learn together. And that's it for this episode of the Homesteading Roller Coaster. Until next time, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tatum Hills Farm. That's T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm, or on our website at tatumhillsfarm.com.au. Thanks for listening. Bye.